Welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with Josh Leonard from Leonard Advisory Group. In this podcast, we help those nearing retirement greet it with a well-prepared smile. Join Josh and his guests to learn the retirement and tax planning tips you need so you, too, can live your golden years with the happiness and excitement you deserve. Hear stories from his years of experience to help you transition into a fun and intentional retirement. Now, onto the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with your host, Josh Leonard, where we talk about transitioning into retirement with intent. I'm Wendy McConnell. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Wendy, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just doing great. I see we have pretty much coming a co-host at this point.
He's a co-host in training, maybe. Yeah, can't get him too confident too quick.
Thanks, Josh. Great to be here. Great to be here with you. It's nice to, I think this is the first one that we had. We're both in the same room.
That's right. This is our first in-person podcast recording.
All right. Sounds good. So what do we have on tap for today?
Yeah, today we're going to talk about discipline. So, through self-discipline comes freedom is a very famous quote from Aristotle. And it was something that I've been thinking about a lot. Recently, my oldest son, Eli, started playing basketball. And, any youth sport, there's always that one kid that has like this natural ability that they're excelling compared to everyone else. And that's not my son at this point. But okay. He wants to play basketball. So we've talked about, hey, as your coach tells you to, practice dribbling with this hand, switch to that one, look up. He's very coachable and dedicated. And that's what I told him, that discipline over the long time is what will make him a good basketball player. Now, I don't know, Wendy, it's probably hard to tell through podcast or video form. I'm not 6'5", so I don't know that NBA is in his future, but he could be a really good high school, maybe even college basketball player if he dedicates and puts the time into practice. And I think what we see in youth sports commonly is those kids that are really good initially are leaning on that natural talent a lot more rather than practicing consistently. And many times the underdogs kind of flip in youth sports over time. So that's one easy example. I'm sure we've all seen that with kids, where that discipline and determination really can make you a better player or just make you better at the sport or activity overall.
Yeah, I think it's when we were talking, it was hard. It's hard to get that idea across to, especially your child. My son's a little bit older than Josh's, and it's like you say, you go out there and you get upset that maybe you weren't as prepared, you didn't do these things, and it's hard to say, hey, if you would have been disciplined and you practice these things, like we talked about in the past, last week, last month, that's whenever you see those things paid off. And I know we're, most of the time whenever we're talking, it's not 1 month ago, or two months ago, the type of things that we are talking about being disciplined in, it's decades ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in terms of, still thinking through that sports and the youth sports, it's sometimes focusing more on the practice rather than the game. So it is, hey, I'm working on these skills consistently, and then I'll try to apply this one piece to the game. You're not going to get a huge ring or, a big trophy by winning the local YMCA, U8 basketball game or league, right? That is the short term and that delayed gratification of knowing, hey, maybe I didn't score the most baskets, but I developed the most as a player. That progress is really the gauge, I think, that we want to see in our children.
Yeah, absolutely. You see that growth. I don't know. Has there ever been something that you've had trouble being disciplined on here, Wendy?
Just about everything, yeah.
But I think, Wendy, I think, it's not unique to any one of us, right? I have, for my big bike race, I need to lose a little bit of belly here.
Okay.
As people do as they get older. And for me right now, it's like counting calories. There's no one can see, but on the table, there is a plate of cookies at the opposite end. And I want to eat the cookies. But if I want to finish this bike race, I need to stop eating the cookies.
Well, I mean, you have to be smart about it too, Josh. If you don't want to be tempted by the cookies, take them out of the conference room while you're in there.
But what if Pete wants a cookie? Right. you're right. You're right. In that, and sometimes, yeah, eliminating those temptations, or you know, there's temptation bundling too, where it might be like, hey, if I complete my 2-hour bike race or a 2-hour bike ride with Pete, I can have a cookie for dessert, right?
Okay.
So you know, you're pairing two things together that help equalize over time. But I think health is a common one, right? We all make poor health decisions. For me, it's many times while I'm traveling, I'm just going to stop and grab the McDonald's. Like, I know it's awful for me, but I'm going to eat that fast food burger. And, you know, if those health decisions keep coming into play, they compound over time. And while in the short term, I might not suddenly gain a bunch of weight, if I only eat, you know, fast food burgers my whole life, I'm probably going to have some health problems down the line.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, and I think what you're going to see a common theme. And I'm sure anytime you start talking about discipline, and even in the quote that Josh gave, you know, through self-discipline, you know, comes freedom. And so really discipline, it's what you're making an agreement, you know, with to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you are, you know, you're going to be in control of. You're making this decision for yourself. You know, I can't decide to be a, you know, a disciplined eater for Josh. You know,
that's right.
It's like,
right.
I can't decide to do, you know, Josh can't say, hey, I've been a disciplined, you know, at riding my bike. You should be fine riding your bike.
For reference, Wendy, we went on a bike ride yesterday and Pete's a little sore today.
A little bit.
You didn't take it easy on him at all?
It wasn't that tough of a ride.
It wasn't bad. It's just the legs stopped working at the end.
But that's it. I mean, I am riding 5 times a week now, and it's winter here in Pittsburgh, so Pete's not riding his bike like normal people, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's doing the hikes, so he's used to using his muscles in a different way.
That's right. You got right. it. So I'm yeah. I think I am lucky, and we were talking about that too, is that setting these good habits and being disciplined and thing, actually, you know, you're laying a good groundwork that even though I haven't ridden a bike in 6 months because I was riding a bike, because I did it whenever I was a kid, I was able to go on, you know, a 21.77 mile bike ride, you know, in the middle of winter and still walk up, you know, the 3 flights of stairs here to get to the office this morning, you know, so seeing that discipline, you know, of something that you were doing start to pay off, you know, even though obviously I'd like to ride longer than 20 miles in one, you know, at one time, you know, you can see that come back. So even though it is something that is for the future, you know, there are little gauges that we like to have, you know, in between that. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think exercise and health are two very easy things that we all know, right? Like, you want to lose weight, right? There's always a shortcut. I remember in high school, there was some new like weight loss drug that came out. And if you read through the side effects, it's like, well, wait, the side effects are worse than just eating broccoli, yeah. right? Like, I don't want any of those other things. So we quite frequently look for shortcuts. But I think the lesson that we all know is that it's that hard work, persistence, that dedication and determination towards reaching a goal, whether it's riding further on your bike. I know that was one of the goals you talked about this year, Pete, is, you know, doing kind of a bike packing trip, covering some more distance. Well, you're not just going to go out and do that or take some miracle drug that suddenly you can do it. Even if you took the miracle drug, you're probably going to be in a world of pain after, right? There is always a negative consequence without those, you know, little steps building up to a bigger thing.
Absolutely. And just to, you know, kind of tie that back into our investment planning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, we talk about people about being disciplined in their, you know, in their investing. And, you know, so where do we usually start? I mean, it's, you know, hey, what's your best asset right now? Usually it's time. You know, a good deal of our clients are, you know, looking at retirement here. And so it's kind of, you know, maybe putting a bow on everything that you've been disciplined your entire life.
A lot of our clients and folks that we meet with as they come in, we see that they're really good savers. They've been determined to save money over time, and they've been very focused on saving money, whether that's through a 401k or putting a little extra money, you know, into a savings or an after-tax investment account over a long time. But now they're sort of at this new chapter, this retirement chapter, where, okay, they've accumulated, they figured out the good habits to save the money, but they don't know what to do from there. And sometimes even in that savings, really where financial planning helps out is, okay, what's the goal and what's an appropriate investment timeline for that goal? Even a lot of the people we meet with quite frequently will see, hey, we really haven't gotten that great of a return. Maybe it's due to fears of the market or things like that. But, you know, sometimes they haven't gotten that return. Really, I'd say the key factor in people that we meet with is that they've been good savers over time. And that time has allowed for a lot of variance. Maybe they didn't have optimal investments, or, you know, maybe they didn't have the lowest cost 401k plan, but because they consistently contributed to it, they're still in pretty good shape.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you see that they've been disciplined and savers, and, you know, sometimes whenever you have been disciplined in one area, sometimes it's hard to switch gears and say, hey, this discipline is going to change now that maybe I am in retirement and I don't have a regular paycheck coming in. And you know, maybe it starts to feel a little more uncomfortable, you know, like maybe I've been a disciplined bike rider, but now, gosh, I got to ride at elevation, you know? So you have to kind of reevaluate things.
I think that's, you know, a big part of our job, Wendy, is helping people have that discipline in retirement too. You know, we joke with clients all the time, like, you're going to need to spend some money, you know, because a really good saver, it's like a switch. You're literally doing the opposite. Like, now you're like, hey, this is my savings and I'm pulling that money out. So psychologically, that can be difficult. But for most of the people we work with, they didn't save the money to, like, you know, give it to grandkids. They'd like to help grandkids or their kids. But the goal is to have a stable, healthy retirement. So, you know, I think that discipline in savings then needs to be pivoted to making sure that they're falling in normal parameters with spending, of course. Like, we're not going to say, hey, Wendy, you're retired, go buy a Lamborghini. You know, that for most people, maybe for some people, that's okay. But making sure that we have appropriate guardrails around our retirement so that we know what to do. And I think recently we were meeting with a client and we said, hey, you need to think about charitable giving more. Like, the reality is you've been really good at saving, but now you're going to pay a lot of taxes. So you can find causes that you're passionate about and donate some money to help mitigate or reduce some of your taxation there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's a little bit different. And I think whenever you've had this plan in place, now you are transitioning to retirement, it's even more important, we believe, to be, you know, disciplined to your plan. Mm-hmm. Because whenever you are younger or whenever you are just starting out in something, you can afford to maybe make some mistakes. You know, if you are trying to get healthier, you know, maybe you did eat a couple meals at the beginning that were, you know, not good for you. And then, you know, maybe once you get towards the end, you know, especially a little older, or you're kind of building up those things. But I think that time and realizing, you know, that you have to stay disciplined. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not something that you've been doing. It's something that we have to continue to do. So it's kind of like our retirement journey. You know, there's not that finish line never, you know, we keep on, well, we can kind of estimate where that is, but really that goes on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's it. That consistent behavior. And that's not to say, like, Pete and I in preparing, You know, Wendy might ridicule me that I'm not the best at sending her show notes ahead of time. So maybe my discipline
just doesn't do it.
Sometimes I send them to you 5 minutes ahead of time. But, you know, so it's fair to say that my discipline is lacking there. However, as Pete and I were talking, I don't think being disciplined means suffering either. Like, even if we're talking about dieting or something, it's putting those guardrails. Hey, if I want to drop 20 pounds for my bike race, like, this is what I need to do. So maybe I'm going to exercise a little bit more, or instead of having 2 cups of coffee with really heavy, fatty creamer in it, maybe I'll just have one and then one black coffee and eat a cookie at the end of the day, right? So kind of balancing out those things. To me, that's not necessarily suffering. It's maybe a little bit of sacrifice. But I want this other goal, so I'm determined to get there. I'm willing to make some sacrifices to help get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think whenever you first pull up the definition of discipline, you know, they give you the noun there and they're like, disciplining a child.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a negative thing, you know, so you're like, gosh, you're kind of taken back. Like, what is this? And then, I mean, you continue to read and you're like, the next discipline and noun, what was it? You're learning a new discipline. You're learning something mm-hmm. new. And you're like, okay, wait, I can get behind this. And then, you know, you kind of go to the verb discipline and you're like, okay, this is a training. This is an action that I'm doing, you know? So I think that, you know, we like to shift that mindset that says, hey, this isn't the Catholic school discipline, you know? You know, this is the training.
No knuckles in this discipline.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that is the focus that we like to say, that, you know, this is the discipline that, you know, that quote about freeing your mind is that, I mean, there's some really hard things that we have to do in life that if you become disciplined in them, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
We talked about muscle memory, mm-hmm. you know, that says, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, you condition your body to do this thing that's hard, whether it's, you know, reading something educationally every day, or you're getting up early to ride a bike, mm-hmm. You know, or you're not eating that extra dessert. Once you have those things set in place, it does free up your mind and it helps you.
Yeah, certainly so. And I think on that journey, you learn so much about yourself too, or maybe you can offset some preconceived notions. I can think of last Friday was the first day, second day I was calorie tracking, and we went to a Freaky Fast sandwich shop, and I always grab a pickle instead of potato chips.
Good choice, yeah.
That pickle has more sodium in it than I'm supposed to consume all day. So for me, what I thought, like, hey, I'm not eating chips, right? No, it's also not good for you, right? So like, you know, that was a preconceived notion that I had. Hey, you know, I'm being better to my body by eating a pickle instead of chips, but it's not really any better. So I should have just went for the cookie, right? That's the lesson learned.
Or the side salad, maybe a little fruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or just only eat the sandwich or pack my lunch too.
You know, it comes a lot into habits, you know, the mm-hmm. habits that you have kind of curtail how your discipline works out, right? About what you do day in and day out.
I like that you brought that up, Wendy, because for those of you that have known me for a long time, I used to be a smoker. So that was a bad habit that I picked up in my late teens and kind of, you know, through college. And I remember one of the hardest habits for me to break was getting in the car to drive, whether it's to work or somewhere or after work, and having that cigarette. And that was like, it was such a mental block that I'd get in the car and it was like, man, I was really good at quitting, but then like I'm in the car and I'm going to drive by a gas station. And I have this habit of smoking while I'm in the car. So that was a really hard thing to kind of break down in a negative habit way, but you know, replacing that with maybe instead, you know, you chew on a piece of celery or something. I didn't do that for the record.
Have a hard candy, maybe chew some gum, you know. I don't know about
gum. I did use gum. I chewed gum quite a bit because I think that helped. But you know, I think of course we'll pivot now to the investing piece, right? Like as we all know, as we're talking through, you know, health and exercise or athletics, investing is the same way. And Pete wrote a great article in Kiplinger recently that we talked about a couple podcasts ago, where we talk about designating the three buckets in retirement. And I think that this holds true. Like, our growth bucket, which is where we keep our investments, our more risky stuff, that we still have a long time lined on. So we can, you know, be focused on that really as money that we don't need today.
Yeah.
I think many people think of retirement as I'm going to need all the money today, when they don't.
No, it lasts a while. Well, you know, we planned for it to last a while. And whenever you do get into that spending, you know, side of things, you know, that's whenever you see these disciplines start to pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why we try to help investors by, and particularly those in retirement, by using the three buckets as, hey, look, you have income for 6 to 10 years. Like, you don't need to worry about what the market's doing in the short term. For those of you watching on YouTube, we got a couple charts up here that are really hard to see. But, you know, I always say the squiggly line over the long term goes up and to the right. And this canvas print over here is like current reality versus the goal. Like, the goal is to have more money, but in the short term, it's going to go all over the place, right? Like, you're going to be set back. Something's going to happen. Global pandemic, a war in the Middle East. There's all these consistent factors that are going to come into play that we can't predict. But over the long term, we know that companies in general like to grow and make money. And, well, buying a stock is being an owner in those companies. So with proper diversification, there's no guarantee, of course, but probabilities in history teach us that the squiggly line goes up to the right.
That's right. And you know, when do these disciplines pay off for us? You know, when does, you know, when does that exercise pay off? You know, mm-hmm. whenever you're, you know, going to go lift something heavy, or you're going to go for an extended run, or maybe you want to go on a hike to see something that you can't see unless you hike there. You know, in the same respect, that's whenever we need to be disciplined with our investments. You know, whenever things are going great and, you know, the market's breaking records every day, you know, recently the market's on a run again, mm-hmm. and, you know, when things are going well and there's no adversity, so whenever you're, you know, it's hard to see when those disciplines kind of make sense. But whenever we take a downturn, you know, whenever the market takes a step back, when we start going into those kind of bear markets, you know, that's whenever we see those disciplines pay off, that, you know, we have somebody still, it's not comfortable. You don't have to like it, but because you were disciplined in the past, because you made a decision, you stuck to that, and you have your own experience to even rely on, it allows you to remain disciplined. It allows you to remain invested. It yeah. allows you to not worry about, hey, what happened yesterday in the news or last week,
yeah.
you know, or last month, and realize that these decisions that we make, you know, usually the most important ones, we rely on a lot of different information mm-hmm. over a long time frame.
Yeah. I mean, I think of it going back to like my bike training and trying to lose weight. Like, that's it. I'm consistently tracking and learning things. Like, the pickle at the Freaky Fast sandwich shop is not a healthier choice, right? You know, so it's not that I ate that once and now I'm not going to complete the bike race, right?
Yeah,
okay, that was a little bit of a setback, but not really, right? Over the long term, it's completely irrelevant that I ate this one unhealthy pickle. A rough day in the stock market's exactly the same, right? That doesn't mean that all companies are going bankrupt or anything like that, but my goals around weight and building up my endurance for the race are also not in a 2-week time period. Like we talk about on the podcast, I'm not going to buy Amazon stock and try to go to the grocery store on Saturday with that same money. That's an irresponsible timeline to assume that that investment is going to go up. It could be any which way at that point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think, you know, we want to properly frame things and then have the determination to be able to get there. not get distracted by the short-term noise. We were talking after our bike ride yesterday about reading books versus the newspaper. And Morgan Housel was on a podcast recently that I was listening to, and he was talking about how he enjoys books more than reading the newspaper or magazines, because those are things that are written for the day, right? If we think of a newspaper, for the most part, it's just telling you what happened the day before, maybe something that's going on. But it's not like a time-tested or long-lasting thing that you're learning about. It's kind of a fleeting moment in time.
It's out of date very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You read it and, you know, I think...
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything, really, unless it has context.
Yeah. I mean, in the long term, it might not. I mean, certainly, I think of... wars and atrocities, certainly they mean something, but in terms of an actionable thing for you to do to improve your life or the lives of those around you, your family, your community, I don't know that there's all that much that you're applying, whereas rather in a book, they are more of a long-term mindset. And I think that's what we're talking about here, right? Like, if we're looking over time, we need to be taking consistent steps, not just,
you know, we could have a global pandemic and you see, you know, this or that. And now we're, you know, almost 4 years. Gosh, we're almost a month. No, I guess 15 days away.
Yeah.
From 4 years ago. And here we are, you know, the lights are still on.
Yeah.
You know, it's still sunny outside. And it seemed like the world was going to end there. So I think that if you weren't disciplined, you could have, you know, hey, world's ending. I'm taking all my money out. I'm
putting it under the mattress.
This, you know, there's, and I mean, we have a lot of different stats, and you know, I think one that I was looking at a chart, and it showed that, you know, the last, you know, they were going from the financial crisis, so they had somebody taking their money out at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, showing that growth, and then they had it compared to maybe getting back in the market in 6 months, and somebody who stayed invested. And I'll ruin the surprise here: the person that stayed invested obviously had 4 or 5 times more than the person that timed the market, and they had obviously significantly more than the person that just kept the money under the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say the biggest takeaway is when it comes to having discipline, maintaining discipline?
Yeah, I think setting realistic expectations and knowing what your long-term goal is that you're reaching for. So, you know, doing the appropriate amount of research and knowledge around the subject, and then applying that consistently over a appropriate amount of time. So not expecting overnight results, right? We don't go to the gym and lift that barbell once and expect to look like Dwayne The Rock Johnson or something, you know? It takes time. The Rock worked out a couple times to get that physique, right?
Just a couple.
Yeah, just a couple. And you know, retirement's the same way. Most folks nearing retirement, if they're decently well prepared, they've used these skills before. Now it's time to refocus. And that's something that we specialize in and we help folks every day in. So if you're listening to this podcast thinking, hey, I'm about to flip the switch onto retirement, maybe Pete and Josh could help me out, you know, frame out some appropriate goals around retirement, set some appropriate expectations. We'd be happy to have a conversation with you. In the show notes, we'll link to our calendar where you can schedule a 15-minute call and just have a basic conversation and say, hey, you know what? These are my goals. Am I totally off base? And I want to retire in 2 years, or I want to retire yesterday. We hear that quite a bit. We'd be happy to help you with that. Pete, any departing thoughts from you?
You know, there isn't a goal out there that you'll set for yourself that isn't going to require discipline to achieve. And, you know, I know that it's most of us, it's not the first time we heard that. Obviously, you know, we have quotes that are, you know, centuries old, you know, Aristotle there.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, so it's not a new concept, but it's something that some things in life do require other people to help you maintain those goals, to get to those goals and maintain that discipline. And, you know, that's really the role that I see that we do play, is that, hey, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these things are hard. It's hard to run up, you know, a mountain. It's hard to not maybe go out to dinner and put your money away, you know, or or try and see, you know, you see your hard earned dollars start to decline, you know, and you ask, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
So there's no goal that doesn't, that isn't achieved without discipline. And, you know, even though, like we said, it has that negative kind of connotation to it, it actually is a positive. You know, these are things to reach these goals. And, you know, once you do set that up, it's going to free your mind and you're going to feel better.
So how do we get in touch with you, Josh, if we would like to have some more of our questions answered?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first off, you can check out our website at leonardadvisorygroup.com. You can email me directly at jleonard@leonardadvisorygroup.com. And you can give our office a call at 412-998-PLAN.
All right. Well, thank you to you both. And thank you for listening to the Relax It's Retirement podcast. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, I'm Wendy McConnell.
Thank you for listening to the Relax It's Retirement podcast, the show that helps you transition into a happy, fun, and intentional retirement. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at www.leonardadvisorygroup.com or give us a call at 412-998-PLAN. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Leonard Advisory Group, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service professionals with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.